assembled here to say a few words about one very wonderful devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And so I had the good fortune of having his association for many years. And so, and we have been told when I came here first also that that was 1980, and so I was at that time a new devotee, and I was doing seva here in the temple, and the new bhaktas, they were cleaning the temple room and the courtyard three times a day, morning, noon, and before darshan, and noon time, and then in the evening also. And so, but then there was one devotee who broke his arm, who was cleaning the deity's plates. So I had the good fortune of doing the seva, because they, at that time, they didn't have anybody else. And usually first initiated devotees were doing. And so then they asked me to clean the deity's plates. And so that was 1980. At that time, so Vibhu Chaitanya was there in the kitchen cooking, and always chanting the holy names while cooking also. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he was completely in control of the kitchen. Very nicely organizing the kitchen, the cooking, and instructing all the devotees how to do the seva in the kitchen, of cutting the vegetables and cleaning the pots and where to put everything, very organized. And even the head pujari at that time, Purnachand Prabhu, was there, and so he was also coming to the kitchen sometimes to see how everything is going on, and he was offering pranam to Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, having so much respect. And we had been told that Prabhupada said that that the pujari, the cook in the kitchen, so it's very important personality, he's as good as the GBC. And which is of course ultimately true, especially if one is in, such an exalted devotee as Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, completely absorbed and in serving the deities under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, and the, of course, most important temple, of course, Mayapur is there, and but Prabhupada used to say that Mumbai is my office, Mayapur is my place of worship, and Vrindavan is my home. So here in Krishna's home, and Prabhupada's home, so he was serving very nicely under Prabhupada's direction. And internally, if you see also, the cook is an important personality, and we see in the spiritual world. So Srimati Radharani, she's cooking every day in the morning for Krishna, assisted by the Sakis and the Manjaris. And even in the evening time, she's cooking at home, and then she's sending to Nanda Bhavan for Krishna's pleasure, different preparations. So there's an important service to cook for the Lord, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he was doing it very wonderfully. And all the devotees, they used to, of course, relish the Mahaprasad cooked by Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. Every day, cooking steadily for so many years, since the time he came here. And I think it was 75 also, shortly after the opening. So then he was asked by Prabhupada to cook. So of course Devi Shakti Mataji knows also more details, she was there. And and so he was doing that very nicely and wonderfully. And I heard one time, so we have been told that he was making some kachoris. And Prabhupada, he liked the kachoris, especially those made by Vibhu Chaitanya. And then, as he was cooking, so Prabhupada was smelling, and then he was telling devotees to please bring the kachoris. And then, So actually, he was then offering to the deities, but at the same time, he was sending for Prabhupada also kacharis. And at one time, he was not able to chant all his rounds, and then he asked Prabhupada, and what to do? I cannot chant all my rounds because I have a full day seva. And then Prabhupada, he told him that you chant as much as you can on the beats, and then while you're doing your seva, then you should chant the Maha Mantra, so which he was doing. So for some time he was not able to chant 16 rounds, but then later on, so he was getting again some help, and then he was, of course, dutifully chanting his 16 rounds every day. So when I was here in 1980, so there, at that time he had more help, and devotees helping him with cooking and making sweets. But he was doing the most of the cooking and the sweets, and then he was directing all the devotees. And even with the distribution of the prasadam, he was always there, and then he was telling everyone who can have some prasad, and so I was cleaning the deities plates, and so they had the opportunity to get prasadam from his hands also. He was very affectionate, like a father. Very loving, but he was very strong also, like a father actually. The father sometimes he has to chastise the children, so he was also chastising the devotees if they were not doing as he wanted, as it should be. But mostly he was loving, so like a father, like the spiritual master, hard like a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. So he was like that. And all the preparations were always very tasty, which he was cooking. All the sabjis, the halva. And he was making one very simple burfi, just some milk and sugar. But everyone liked this burfi also. That was famous, the burfi. Now they're doing it a little different, which is also nice, the burfi which we're having now for the deities. But his one was, nowadays it is more soft, but his burfi was very hard. But it was tasty also because he had love. One time he was making some preparations, yet even in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, every day she's making a new dish for Krishna. So the pure devotees, they are under the guidance of Radharani. So he was also many times making some new dish. And so my wife is a good cook also, and one time she asked him, so how did you make this preparation? Can you please tell me? And then he was just saying, most important is bhakti. You must have bhakti, not just that you have the ingredients and you cook something. And so if you have bhakti, then Krishna will accept. But he wouldn't tell exactly how he did it. That was a secret. So then I used to, so a few months I was doing the seva, but then I was asked, and another devotee was asked to do, and I was asked to go on Sankirtan. And then, of course, we were going on Sankirtan, book distribution, life membership, and usually for 2-3 months, and then we used to come back. And immediately, of course, looking forward to see the deities, and looking forward to see Vibhu Chaitanya and to get some Mahaprasad. And So which he was always doing. And then again we went out for a few months and came back, and so that I was doing for maybe 2 years, and then my health was not good, so I had to stay back, and then I had different services here for a little while as cashier, because I was working in a bank, and somehow the devotees came to know, so they asked me to be cashier for a little while, but I didn't really like that service so much. And then they asked me to become bhakta leader, and so then I had always the opportunity to still have some little exchange with Chaitanya. And then for a few years I was in the West, and then I came back, and then I became pujari, and that was in 1987. I came back, and then I had the opportunity again to meet Vibhu Chaitanya for a little while, and then, but 1990 I became full-time pujari, And then Board Association, 1992, I became then head pujari. And then, so a lot of exchange was there with Chaitanya. And of course, always had the highest respect and always trying to, always asking his blessings so I could do the seva nicely. Even before becoming head pujari, I asked his blessings, the blessings of the senior devotees, and by their mercy, so I'm still able to do the seva. So always there was the wonderful exchange with Vibhu Chaitanya, loving, and he was very strong, as I as mentioned, but with me he was always very loving, and he never chastised me. I guess I was not doing too bad. So he was always very loving with me and giving me prasadam, and he needed something, then he was asking me. Many times he needed some things, personal things, although it was very difficult to serve him. He was very reluctant to accept service. First he was staying in the ashram, but the Gurukul towards the backside. He had one room there, and one pujari was staying with him, and I used to go there and also just see if he needs something, but he always used to say, no, I don't need. But then later on, as he was getting older, so he had some needs, and then he used to quietly ask me, I need this or I need that. And then, which then immediately, of course, very happily, I supplied whatever he needed. But otherwise it was difficult to serve him. Many devotees tried to serve. Only the pujari who was staying with him was, of course, then when he was getting more older and older, was helping him, washing the cloth. But he was reluctant to accept service. Even sometimes I used to ask him questions, and he used to give a very short answer, even philosophical. And he was not speaking so much. I mean, he was speaking something, even the philosophy about Krishna, but not so much. And usually after a few minutes, he was saying, okay, and you can go. So he was introspective, reserved, but very, very loving. But then, from one point of view, but other point of view, he was giving also Krishna consciousness to others. He was giving prasadam to everyone. He used to stop the devotees, here, I have some prasadam for you. So this is mentioned, Nam Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva Jiva Doya. So he had taste for the holy names, therefore he was able to chant his rounds, and while cooking he was always chanting the Maha Mantra, just the Maha Mantra, most of the time. And then, but then he was serving the Vaishnavas by giving them prasad and even general persons. So he was giving to everyone prasad, so very mercifully. And then later on his health was not so good, and then, well, one more instance I remember, despite all his seva, so of cooking all the offerings, or most of the offerings, on Ekadashi, he was cooking separate prasad, Ekadashi prasad, which he was offering to Gonitai. Besides the normal Rajbhog, for the deities, he was cooking Ekadashi preparations, and he was offering to Gonitai and Prabhupada. And then he was distributing that to the devotees also. But then at one point, some devotees complained. They were saying there's no need to do this extra cooking on Ekadashi. Devotees have prasad, and for the deities, the Raj Bhog, the normal grains, that is sufficient. And then, but still he was doing, and the president then tried to tell him, and then some GBC had come, and he had told the president that has to be stopped. And I was there when the president came to the kitchen and told Vibhu Chaitanya, no more Ekadashi cooking for the deities, you have to stop it. That is the instruction of the GBC also. And I saw that he was, of course, very unhappy. and that he was not able to do that, which was wonderful. I really always appreciated that. And then, but he had to follow the instructions of the president and the GBC who had come. But then he was continuing his service, and sometimes, even sometimes with the head pujari previous, he had sometimes different of opinion with Vibhu Chaitanya, but mostly then he had to, the head pujari previously had to accept then the last word of Vibhu Chaitanya. And myself, I never had any issue with him. Whatever he was doing was perfect and complete, and I was doing my seva, and I was always asking his blessings. And then, so when he was getting older, then at one point he was not able to go up the stairs to the top floor, and then he came down on lower floor, but then it was difficult, and then he came to the guest house, and he was staying in one of the rooms, room number, what is it, five? Maybe number five. And then at that time, also at one point, he had some different with actually that was the previous head pujari also, he had a difference with him, and then at one point he just decided that he will not cook anymore. And then actually our present head cook, so then he came first. My wife was cooking for a few months for the deities, and then the present head cook, who's now also doing since so many years. So that is like, I think also 27 years now he's cooking Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu. So then he became the head cook. And then for some time he was not doing any seva, and he was just chanting his japa. And then at that time had actually become head pujari shortly after that. And so then he approached me, and he was asking me if he could distribute Chanamrit. At that time we had 2-3 devotees taking care of Chanamrit, care of distributing Chanamrit. And now we have like 5-6 devotees distributing the Chanamrit. But then I was gladly accepting, because at that time also one devotee was doing, left, and he went to his village because of old age, and he left his body shortly after that. And then there was only one more or two more, and so then he asked me if he could do the seva, and then I said yes, wonderful. And then he was doing the seva first half day, and then other devotees also could not do, then he was doing whole day seva of distributing the Chanamrit. And that was also most exemplary, most wonderful, and never anybody did like he did. And even now, like he was doing, so it is only an extraordinary person, devotee, can do that. Sitting the whole day and distributing, and he was then especially to the senior devotees, or he was taking the hand and giving very lovingly in the hand. The Chanamrit. And then he had some small cups for the children, because many times they were not able to hold and they were dropping. And then he had to clean. It was always clean, the table, the floor. He had a cloth for the floor, for the table. And so he had small cups for the children. And even sometimes the big children, the big devotees, the adults also wanted more Chanamrit, and they also took small cup and they were drinking the Chanamrit. And then in the summer, one point, he felt that the Chanamrit should be fresh, because in the summer it may go bad by evening time. So he wanted the fridge. I thought it's okay. But he wanted the fridge where the Chanamrit is distributed, where Tulsi Devi is there. And I didn't have any problem. So then it was put there, and he was keeping the Chanamrit there, so it is fresh. The devotees could have fresh Chanamrit and didn't go bad. But then some devotees were objecting, and they were going to me, and I was saying, well, his old person, for him is difficult. But then they were pressurizing me also. Then I said, well, maybe you can speak to Vibhu Chaitanya yourself, because I was not I mean, I was humbly requesting, but he was feeling the fruit should be there and shouldn't be a problem. And I didn't dare to object to Prabhu Chaitanya. And I didn't feel it's such a big thing, a big problem. But others were, and then ultimately they forced him to agree to put the refrigerator in the Pujari room. And then he had to go there and get the Charanamrit. But then later on he had one devotee assisting him to bring the Charanamrit on Pujari. So that saved also. First the cooking was wonderful and how he organized everything, and then the Charanamrit, how he was distributing and then keeping everything clean and organized was really wonderful. But then even that was getting difficult for him to do the whole day, and then we had to get other devotees. And then as he was there in room number 5 in the guest house, so then slowly old age was coming more and more, and then he had to reduce his seva. But then he was continuing his seva in his room, and he was asking me some big photos of the deities. And then he was asking every day for the Mahagaland, at least one from Gonitai, one from Krishnavam, one from Radhisham. And he was decorating. So he had his room was becoming Bhajan Kutir. And he was there doing seva there, offering the garland, offering flowers, offering incense, offering ghee lamp to the pictures. And then, although he never asked anything, at one point he came to me, he was saying, "I need some money." And I was really surprised, "You need some money?" "Yes, I need 300 rupees every month." And I was wondering why. But anyway, I gave him. And then he was buying some different things, which then he was distributing to the devotees. First of all, he was offering some sweets also and some fruits, and then he was distributing that, and then he was buying some other small things as gifts, which he was distributing to the devotees who are coming to see him from time to time. Oh, he used to call the devotees also. I mean, he used to call me regularly, and then immediately as you go to see him. But sometimes when Pujari was serving him, called me, and Prabhu Chaitanya wants to see you. But then I was busy, I didn't go immediately, I came after 2 days, and then very lovingly always telling me, "Oh, okay, you came, very nice, I'm happy that you're here." And out of causeless mercy, many times then I offer my obeisances, he said, no need to offer obeisances to me. And he was taking my hands, no need. And then he was putting his both hands on my head and in this way blessing me so I could, do some little seva. So, so that was then his seva. As he was not able to do Charanamrit seva, he was doing seva in his room. And then he was calling the devotees to come and see him, and then he was giving prasad, he was giving gifts, and then automatically, senior devotees like Dhanodhar Maharaj, who was at that time the principal, Burijan Prabhu, senior devotees, whenever they used to leave Vrindavan, they used to go to Vibha Chaitanya, and they used to ask him, "Please give you mercy so we can do some preaching and so that we can come back to Vrindavan." And he used to bless them. And as soon as they used to come back, they used to go and see Vibha Chaitanya also. So that they may be able to stay here. So that was... So he was so much respected by the senior devotees also. Of course, always you can see that some people, they may object to something, and even some, they were criticizing his cooking. I remember some people were saying, "Every day is the same." So always some people are there who have something to say about somebody. But most of the devotees, they loved him, and he loved everyone, of course. One who has love for Krishna, he has love for everyone. So he was such a wonderful devotee, and so sweet memories are there. And then it was apparent that he was not able to stay much longer at one point. So he also had told me, "I cannot eat anything anymore. Everything is coming out." And then very quickly his health deteriorated. And then one devotee, of course, was always with him, and the devotees used to come and do kirtan. And then actually I was asked to go to come to Indore for some program. And then then when I was there in Indore, the day after Ekadashi, then he left his body, so they called me, but I was not here. But of course so many devotees were there doing the last rites, and on that same day of Dvadashi, so after Ekadashi, after Gita Jayanti, the next day he left the body. And then after 3 days we had a nice ceremony also in his remembrance, and the some of the ashes after burning his body, so the Jamuna, some of the ashes were kept, and then the samadhi was built. And so every day, every year on this day we have some glorification. When we have noon time will be an offering at 12:30 to Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, and then Atik will be there, and Pushpanjali and Atik. His Grace Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutle Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desa Tharine Vancha Kalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We need to understand who a sadhu is, because it's very, very openly described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if we perform sadhu ninda, then we have to suffer, and sometimes our devotional service is almost reduced to nil. It can never be reduced completely, because devotional service is eternal. But we have to recognize who a sadhu is. Now, a sadhu is a Vaishnava. And when I think of the qualities of a Vaishnava, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Sri Krishna in the 11th canto to Uddhava, Vibhu Chaitanya comes to my mind. A Vaishnava never, ever considers himself to be a sadhu. He always considers himself to be most fallen and unqualified. And therefore, because he considers others to be Vaishnavas, he wants to serve them. So Vibhu Chaitanya, he was just like that. According to the Varnashram system, at the age of 50, we're supposed to give up our family attachments and take to devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord, come to the holy dham if possible. And that's what Vibhu Chaitanya did. I heard that he used to be a merchant, grain merchant, previously. When he was in his early 50s, he gave up his family, his sons, his wife, everything, and he came here to Vrindavan Dham. At that time, he met Srila Prabhupada. I believe it was Bhakti Charu Swami who introduced him to Srila Prabhupada in 1976. And immediately, he entered into service here in the temple. Now, in those days, we were always short of cooks. And although he wasn't even initiated, Prabhupada made some concession here in the temple, 75, just after it was open, and 76, that if one is competent and qualified, they could even cook before they were initiated. So we had several cooks like that at that time. And Vibhu Chaitanya was one of those exemplary cooks. He was cooking for the deities, and on the day of his initiation, he had to run out here, get initiated, and then run right back into the kitchen. So I was in Mayapur when Vibhu Chaitanya joined here, and as soon as I came back, I ran to the kitchen because that was my service before, to cook for cook in the temple. And there I saw Bibhu Chaitanya for the first time. With my little bit of Bengali, his little bit of English, we were able to communicate. And as far as possible, I tried to serve him any way possible. So all the things that he needed done, which were the peripheral things, washing the pots, cleaning the grains and the spices, making up the plates, I tried to help him with those things. I never tried to do the cooking because he was the master. He was the maestro. He orchestrated everything in the kitchen, and he just told us what to do. And whenever he was, of course, the benefits of working in the kitchen with such a master cook are that you get to watch them. You don't have to ask them anything, but while you're doing your service, you get to see what they're doing and see the methodology of how they're able to cook so many things at one time. He was such a master. He had everything exactly planned, pre-cut, everything prepared, split-second timing so that he could have all the preparations ready in time for their lordships, on the plate, in that everything was just perfect. And I watched that, and I saw how a person who's so expert that they don't waste one single second of time, and though it would be freezing cold, it would be boiling hot, we only had one two-burner gas stove at that time. Everything else we cooked on coal, and nobody wanted to break the coal. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he would be out in the freezing cold, breaking the coal, making the stoves. To make the stoves would be out here, all the smoke would come up, bringing them in. He was so silent in everything that he did, and he knew exactly what had to be done at all times to get the offerings ready in time. So I got to watch that scientific methodology of an expert cook and hope that it would imbibe in me how I could do service as perfectly as him. He would ask me to do things, and I would obviously always make mistakes. He never got angry with me. Just like a very loving father, he would just correct me, that's all, so that I wouldn't make the same mistake the next time. So we had a father and daughter relationship like that, where he was always training me, and I was always looking up to him and watching him to learn how to become, to learn what an expert cook is, though I could never become one. So over the years, whatever my services were, I would try to run into the kitchen and see what Bibhu Chaitanya needed, what kind of help he needed, menial help. Then, this is all in the 70s, these pastimes. Sometimes devotees would criticize Bibhu Chaitanya. And one time, one devotee who I considered very elevated, he just nonchalantly said to me, well, he asked me what was my service. I told him, I'm helping Bibhu Chaitanya in the kitchen, this, that, the other thing. He said, oh, Bibhu Chaitanya, he's a fool. Now, I've told this incident before when Bibhu Chaitanya first disappeared. I don't really like to repeat it, but I'm just finishing a book now called Overcoming Vaishnav Aparad. And by studying the restrictions given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the instruction given by the Supreme Lord himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm learning about the absolutely destructive effects of finding fault and criticizing a Vaishnava. So when I heard that a respectable person was calling this devotee a fool, I decided to see, well, why is he calling him a fool? And I decided to very scrutinizingly watch everything that he did to see where the foolishness was. So I would watch him from Mangalartik and all the things that he did and how he would come out and only eat after all of his cooking, and then even before that serve prasadam to the birds, to the devotees, to the children, everybody. Then he would have a little in his tiffin, and then come back and cook again and check everything. I tried, but I couldn't find any fault anywhere. So long-term research means you're watching over the years. It could be 20 years, 40 years. So I had that opportunity to watch what happened to these devotees who criticized him. Each person who criticized him, I'm not exaggerating, their devotional service was destroyed. They fell down. They were dishonored. They lost everything. Either they died in total shame or they left the society. So I'm only putting all of these different parts of the puzzle together now because I'm studying now what the effects are of sadhu ninda. First, we have to understand what a sadhu is, and then we have to understand what the different types of ninda are, or blasphemy or criticism of a devotee. So this is it's a scientific process. Everything in Krishna consciousness is very scientific. You do one thing, you get the reaction. So when a devotee is so humble and working, serving all day and night to please his spiritual master and to please the deities, whatever faults that we may think that we're seeing in that devotee, we must overlook. Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that simply because he's engaged in devotional service, very soon he'll become perfected. He'll become righteous. So we should never, ever judge a devotee. We should always just appreciate the service that they're doing and try to learn from that devotee how we can improve our own service. So over the years that Bibhu Chaitanya lived here, because I observed him very carefully throughout all of his services, when he was unable to cook anymore, and he transferred over here to the Charanamrita department, he did everything with the exact same love and care and scientific methodology that he did when he was serving their lordships directly with the cooking. Now he was serving the Charanamrita to the devotees. But he served the devotees so carefully. I can still feel his warm hand, because he wouldn't just put the Charanamrita in your hand. He would hold your hand and cup it to make sure not one drop fell out. And if by chance a drop fell out, he would get quite upset, not at the person, but the fact that the Charanamrita was falling on the ground, he would immediately clean it up. And when they weren't allowing him to have the refrigerator anymore, so I would run in and make sure that he always had, I'd go into the kitchen for him, because it was hard for him to walk even by then. I'd run in, bring the pots of Charanamrita for him until somebody was assigned to do it. So I always had that attitude of, here's such a humble devotee, never, ever, ever demanding any type of respect, position, acknowledgement, absolutely nothing, just looking for ways that he could serve. And then when he transferred over to here, to room number 5, there were, in that one room, maybe 5 devotees living. He had one little corner, he had his bed, and he had a set of shelves. Now, what he did in that one little corner, he created the entire spiritual world. When you went in there, when you entered the room, you saw Bibhu Chaitanya completely surrounded by pictures of the deities, by garlands that he would take the maha garlands that Mukunda Dattu would give him, he would restring them Make new fresh garlands and put those onto the deity's pictures. And constantly, although he couldn't walk to the temple anymore and he refused to use a wheelchair, he would have the radio going constantly so that it was as if he was always in the temple. And whenever anyone came in, like when he did ask for that money, he had a bodhi. Now in that bodhi, he kept drinking glasses, stainless steel glasses, and spoons. And whenever a devotee came to visit him, we would bring devotees every day, just after, there's always that gap of time. We didn't used to have the circumambulation of Prabhupada after Guru Puja, so there was a kirtan time. So I would grab any new devotees that came to Vrindavan and say, come, you have to come see Bibhu Chaitanya. He can't walk anymore. They wouldn't even know who Bibhu Chaitanya was, but they would come to see him. And every single devotee was just so mesmerized by the mood that he created all around him. And Bibhu Chaitanya would greet them like they were a king. He would give them prasadam. He wouldn't speak to them. He would just Hare Krishna. And he would give them a glass, and he would give them a spoon, and he would give them prasadam. And this was Bibhu Chaitanya. I found, at least, I haven't found it anywhere in the Shastras yet, but my own realizations here are that if you don't want to fall down, you have to stay very close to the ground, because then you have nowhere to fall. So that was the way Bibhu Chaitanya was. So whenever we came into his room, he would be sitting on his wooden bed. But one day, I came in with some guests, and Bibhu Chaitanya was going into the bathroom. And Bibhu Chaitanya, I never knew that because he was always sitting. His back was completely bent. Now this is what's described about a Vaishnava, that they have so many fruits of devotion. A tree that bears a lot of fruits, they're all bent down. So Bibhu Chaitanya, from his years and years of cooking over the stove, serving the Charanamrita, serving the devotees, he was just completely bent over. And I realized then also that was why, that might have been why he didn't want to come to the temple anymore. Because even before that, when he was in that condition, every morning at the Samadhi Arti, Bibhu Chaitanya would come religiously. He would always be there for Prabhupada Samadhi Arti. And he would lean on the altar. He would have his hands on the altar like that. And I always wondered why. So then I could understand that over the years he was getting this physical condition where his spine was just bending over. And by the time he was in room number 5, he could hardly even walk to and from the bathroom anymore. So, but the type of, it's not a disease. It was actually a glorious condition that Krishna put him in, because I was able to appreciate so much all these years and years of service. He was in this situation now. Nothing was depressing. Nothing was unhappy about Bibhu Chaitanya. He took everything as Krishna's mercy. So in the final months, we would visit him every single day. Finally, that one fateful day, someone came and told me, yes, Bibhu Chaitanya is about to leave now. He's not conscious anymore. Oh, before that, there was a devotee. I brought a devotee who knew how to massage. He knew how to do therapeutic massage. He was from South America. So I asked him, please, you massage Bibhu Chaitanya, get his back, you know, so he could sit up nicely. So he was massaging him very, very intensely. But as he was massaging him, I noticed that he was crying. So after the massage, when we went out, I asked the devotee, Prabhu, why were you crying? And he said to me, well, I just spent all these months taking care of my father. And when you massage, you understand what's going on in the body. So by massaging Bibhu Chaitanya, I could understand that it's time for him to leave his body now. So, because that's the way my father was when he was about to leave. So therefore I was crying for that, because I knew that it was time for him to go. So just a few days after that, we got the message that Bibhu Chaitanya is unconscious, you come. I tried to come, but the room was so full of devotees I couldn't even get in. So just they dragged me in for 1 minute. Although Bibhu Chaitanya was unconscious, and if Dhanadhar Swami is here, he could describe that before Bibhu Chaitanya became unconscious, he gave some, you know, the doctor come and asked, what's your final request? And one of those requests was that no one is allowed to serve him. So Bibhu Chaitanya, up to the very, very last breath, so close to the ground. And this is how, I mean, sometimes I wonder, so many devotees have left their body here. Now, why Bibhu Chaitanya has a samadhi? Because I'm just realizing more and more each year when we have these memorials that each of the qualities of a devotee, of a sadhu that we read, we can find some example of how Bibhu Chaitanya, he manifested those qualities in his service. So we don't need position, we don't need respect, we don't need anything except for service to their lordships. And they will take care of us, that we come back to them if we continue our service up to our last breath like Bibhu Chaitanya did. Hare Krishna.